commonality with Honduras and Guatemala, and have had a lot of good times and have really appreciated a lot of his testimony. This guy is, how old are you, Daniel? 80 years of age, strong and squared, and still wanting to go back to Central America as soon as the airplane stuff is cleaned up to share Jesus with somebody. And I think that's pretty awesome. On a serious note, he's got something that he needs to speak. He came to me this morning. I feel like I've got a word.
Yes.
So I want to hear it.
I'm hard at keeping the microphone.
You want
here.
Me to help you?
I have a tendency to drop it down here.
But they need to hear you.
Yes. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Okay, no use going any farther. You can look it up and for yourself. I'm trying to get done here quick as I can. Anyway.
You're good.
Anyway, I've been serving Jesus all my life. Since a child, my father was a pastor, so it's been 80. I don't even remember the date that I accepted the Lord, because it was just automatic. But I do remember the date I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 1954. And I have something to say. Lord woke me up in the middle of the night last night. And I came to him this morning, and he said, this is unusual. And so it is very necessity to say what I want to say. Excuse my English language. I've been in so many countries, you name it. I lived abroad in Thailand for years, lived abroad years. Serving the Lord, all of us, this is for a reason, hear what I'm saying. All of my children are Christians because of my wife's action and my action. Hear what I have to say. If you're in God's will and you're listening to Him, the Lord will be your shepherd. He'll direct your life and every part of your life. I want to tell a story now. When you're in God's will, perfect God's will, you might be a poor man working in that little corner down over there, and you feel you're not doing anything for the Lord, but you're in His will. Hear the story out now. We were in the ministry at that time, living in Guatemala. We spent 8 years in Guatemala, my wife and I. Raised my children in Huehuetenango school. And so it was on vacation time. They came to the coast where my wife and I were working with the Granitha tribe, a black and a half Spanish mix, like the Creole is. And in that process, vacation, my kids had a fantastic day or a week around the, we lived right on the coast, and so they were out in the water playing, having a great time. It's time to go home. So there was no foreseeing weather in those days. You couldn't just pull up your weather. There was no weather, mostly down in Central America. So I was looking up the sky. Well, it's a little cloudy. I'll be okay. Put the boys in my aircraft and headed for northern Guatemala up towards Mexico, about 300 miles away, crow flies. And on the way, I climbed 11,000 feet. And as I got closer to Weiwei Tenango, it was getting more cloudy because there's a range of mountains called what you call the Rockies that follows south central North America. And I was pegging those mountains. And so in that process, the clouds were pegging. And I looked down, and there was a hole in the river. And I knew that river. And it was a short way from Weiwei Tenango where I had to go. So I peeled off my aircraft, went down through the hole, and followed the river up and landed that mile from the Central American school there where my kids was going to school. My oldest son was with me, plus my three children. Dropped my three children off, headed then towards Guatemala City on the western seaboard, and there was no clouds, nice and pretty, because all the clouds had pegged the Sierras or the Rockies. And in that process, I had to get gas. We stopped in Guatemala City, filled the tank up, and on the way to Guatemala City, my amp gauge went like this. I don't know if you know what an amp gauge is. Today it's all lights. But I stopped and filled my tank up, and I asked the mechanic to check out my amp system. Maybe I needed a regulator. He came to me and says, "You're all ready, you're all set." And I've killed my son and I killed some time, got in my plane and headed 60 degrees from Guatemala City towards Barrios. And on that trip, I had to go back over to the Rockies. And I was over the Rockies, and behind me now was the mountain range. Ahead of me was the sea, the ocean, the Caribbean. I was at about 13,000 feet, and the sun was setting now, going down, and my amp gauge, boom. You know what happens when your amp sticks like that? Full discharge, a direct short in the source system. Like you take the two negative, positive, without between and hitting them together, you're only going to get that sparks. All my instruments went out on me. Sun was setting. I had 100 miles or so to go in front of me. The Rockies were behind me, and as I was going along, I had only my engine. And one, for some strange reason, one strobe light on one tip of one wing. I think if I was right, it's a right wing. Sunset, and it got dark. I couldn't see my instrument. I couldn't see nothing. My hand in front of me, reflecting from the clouds, I could still barely see. I had to go down in the clouds. When you're in God's will, you have to put your hand into His hand, right, with His hand. If you don't, you're in hot water. Beside the still waters, you're in His hand. Listen to me. If you're in God's will, you're doing what He wants. You are going to survive. I'm here today.
That's right.
This isn't just one episode that night. This went on and on, facing death many times that night. I have never in my life heard any airplane pilot can say what I'm about to tell you. I should not be here. I said, okay, went into the clouds, put it ahead, it went pitch black. It was raining. 40 mile an hour headwind. So I couldn't see, I didn't know the ground, I didn't know where I was at now. I just flew in God's hand. I flew and I flew. And I knew I had to go lower. I put it, went lower, lost the plane. Went out of control. I fell from 15,000 feet to around 800 feet. Out of control. And as I was falling, I crying out to the Lord. And the Lord says, don't touch. Let it go. And I fell, and I fell, and I fell. In God's will, I was listening to him. Don't touch. All of a sudden, I seen a light above my head going like this. Can somebody tell me what was going on? My plane was spinning straight down. The clouds went like that, and I seen that turning like that. As a dog goes up in front of you, if you were driving, you'd slam on your brakes or turn the steering wheel to miss the dog, right? I automatically hit the rudder and stopped it from turning and brought it down, and spinning around, it was a hut along the riverfront. I went around that house, went around that hut, must have been 10 times. Got my bearings. I said, I'm on the coast. I'll head down along that waterfront and hit Barrios International City, and I'll be okay. Had that one strobe light. So I went right down on the water. That little strobe light. Only instrument I had was that little strobe light. I went, and my son all of a sudden, Dad, we're back to the same spot. I said, what do you mean? He says, we're back to the same spot. We just passed that hut just back. I said, what? And I went around a lake. And the largest lake in Central America. I went around with that one strobe light. And I didn't know where I was at, but then I started the Lord spoke to me and said, stop and think. So as I watching that light blink, my son told me, Dad, not then, but later on in life, Dad, I seen that wing skip the water a couple of times. Hey, how many is a pilot out there? Oh, really? That's a miracle in itself. If a plane even touches the water, it flips over. You're dead. He said, I seen the wing skip the water. I didn't. Anyway, I went around and around, and all of a sudden my son says, Dad, you passed where the river takes off from the river. So I went and followed the river, and then I knew where I was at. And I had to go over a mountain range because that river went like this through this mountain range, and I could not, with no instruments, make that turn. So I had to go back up into the clouds. No instruments, no nothing. And put my hand in the hands of the Lord. How many has to trust the Lord over and over again at one time? This all happens at one time. One episode. I went up in the clouds and I just held the steering wheel in this position and flew. I didn't lose it. And all of a sudden the light started coming. And it was actually at my place I lived on a coast of Guatemala. And I hit a little airstrip, no wider than that, and it, no trees off that way, no trees. They were all cut down lower than my wings. And I went to, in, pulled full flaps, put on full power, put on the trim all I could, and coming in for a power landing, big old tree that big around went past my wing like that. I missed it. I went around 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 10 times, and trees going past my wing like that. I don't know if you ever see a head of, no, you're not pilot, so you wouldn't know. But to have that coast to death that fast would have been my life. Yeah. That fast. Yeah. I told myself, I can't make that. And I was on the coast there. My airport, my strip was a walking distance to the Caribbean. So I landed it up. I went around 4 or 5 times, landed up on the coast and headed towards Barrios. This time it was Barrios. So as I headed toward Barrios, all of a sudden, I had to cross this large Mekong, Rio Dulce River, and I just hit water. And I must have circled in the water, I don't know, but I ended up come to a light. And I came to the light, it was a boat in the middle of the Caribbean. This is a true story. I should have been dead. You listen to the Lord. If you're in His will, you will have episodes that not is natural, that is beyond your ability to accomplish. Only God and His hand can keep you alive. I then went to that boat, and it was a boat. Here I go again, circling that boat. The Lord spoke to me again. But just before that, I pulled flaps, I put on full power, I told myself, I'm out in the Caribbean, I don't know where I'm at, where that boat coming from. I'm going to crack up next to the boat, right in front of the boat, I'll crack it up, they'll see me. And I came making a forced landing, coming down right near the water. And that light on the end of the wing hit in the water. And the Lord spoke to me, stop, think, So I went around again. And I went around and I think, well, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord spoke to me. He says, where did the boat come from? Where did the boat come from? And I realized it was in the evening. And if you know what boats do, they don't go by time. They go by when they're loaded. You follow what I'm... When their shipment is all empty or full. And so I figured, it's in the evening. I bet they just left port. I lined it up and took off in that direction in faith. One strobe light. Listening to what the Lord is saying. He restores our soul.
Yes.
He will restore your soul. He'll preserve you and protect you. When it's beyond natural, flew. And all of a sudden, a light came up. And I just said, where am I? And I came closer. It was a city. Barrios. How many been to Barrios? One, two. It's not over yet. The military has an air base there. But at night in Central America, you know what they do? They turn off the lights. They turn off the runway. So here's the city right there. And I put on my flaps, put on full power, came down low, and it was a canal. I thought it was, because it was blank, it was the airstrip. It was a canal. I circled again. My son said, Dad, you missed the airstrip. And there it was. I looked, and there was, I passed it. You want to do something with the airplane like I did, you'd never do it again. I landed that thing on a almost crossways on that airstrip. But I want to tell you something. If you're in God's will, you be refreshed when it's over. You sit down and eat a good meal with a good conscience, and your enemies will be looking and saying, I don't know how that man ever lives. I don't know how he survives. They'll know it's God in control of your life. Stay in God's will. Stay in His will. I want to say one little short story.
Good. Because I knew when I handed a microphone to a missionary. But this is flowing good, and I'm going to add to it. So go ahead. I love it.
I'm just a natural man like you. When I came to Chino Valley, I'd come down 189 where they had the roundabouts, and there was a man walking along the road, and I just passed a man. The Lord says, pick him up. I went back around the roundabout, go all the way back up, where I could make another turn around about and come back, and I picked him up. I said, the Lord spoke to me to talk to you about Jesus. He broke down and cried. He just went through a big episode. He accepted the Lord. This is just recently. Hear me out. If you're in God's will, you have to obey what He says. This is the latest with me. Oh, there's been a couple more times since I've been here. But the episode is that you have to listen and stay in the Lord's will. You get out of the Lord's will and you say, "Ah, oh, it's my flesh, you're in hot water. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You don't want God to comfort you with the rod. I'd rather have him take that staff and say, "Hey, follow me," and pull you back into the rod. Listen to him. I was sitting in my house in Angels Camp, California. Lord spoke to me and says, "Go to China." Go to China? And I'm just like you, were just a natural. Only difference, there is a difference. I have ability the average man doesn't have. My son works for United Airlines, and I could go any place in the world for nothing. So. And the Lord told me to go to China. I only had about $300 in my pocket. Okay, so I take off and go to China with $300. How many would go to China with $300 in their pocket? I took off. I phoned my son, "Hey, put me on the airplane menu for China out of SFO. Well done." Phone me back. "You're on for 8 in the morning," something like that. So I took off and go to China. Listen to me. You have to obey the Lord. If he tells you, turn around, go back and pick up that man, give that man $100, give him $1,000, $20,000, or you go help him build that house, you help him stay in his will. Your ability that you have in that corner, work it with all your might, soul, and stay in his will. I went to China, got off the plane, went downtown. "What do you want me here in China for, Lord?" I didn't know nobody in China. So I had $300 in my pocket. I turned right around and said, "Well, I'm going to go up to Mongolia." So I got on the train for $75. I think that was round trip. Went up to Mongolia. And guess what? A little girl in the booth, a 10-year-old girl, we had the same booth. You know what I'm talking about? If you ever travel the train, there's no doors, no nothing. There's just a booth. You follow what I'm saying? And that little girl got sick, real sick. The women came around her and said, "Well, if you put your buckle on," I'm showing how heathen some people are. They think that you buckle, put your tummy real tight, you'll be better. It didn't help. I knew that. I said, "What are you doing that for? That's not going to help." Anyway, I had a new Bible, brand new Bible, real small one, long, about that long, and almost about that thick, complete, beautiful new Bible, gold, everything. And she was learning English, and I gave it to her. And by the time we reached Mongolia, she was better. I seen her go off, and the parents to send a little child from China to Mongolia by herself. I would never do that, but I never lived abroad. Well, I lived abroad, but custom-wise speaking. I got sick in Mongolia. I only had $300 on me, and I got so sick, I laid in my own feces. And I told the Lord, "Why? Why? Why? I'm in your will. I've done what you told me to do." And I thought I was going to die there. Actually, they call it the death syndrome. That's the name of that flu, death syndrome. So you could, that's how severe it is. I laid in my own feces. I got started to get feel a little better. I got up and I could hardly walk and move. I walked outside and started walking to the Chinese embassy to get a visa to go back into China, to go back to America. And on the way, two men came up to me like this. The other one like this. We'll help you. I, to this day, I believe there were angels. You gotta obey God. You gotta work your corner. You gotta listen to Him. They helped me to the embassy, sent me down, took my passport, they did it all, came back to me, said, let's go. And I went back to the train. They left, walked away from me. I think they were angels. God, I was still sick, and on the way back to China, I felt a lot better. Got to Beijing, had $3 left in my pocket, but I had a free flight. $3 left in my pocket. Ran to the counter of United Airlines, and she says, you just missed a plane about 3 minutes ago. Also, I missed a plane. Well, I said, oh, okay. So I'll sit it out in the airport, international airport. But, what's the name of it? What's the name of the capital of China?
Beijing.
Huh? But they didn't use another word then. I forgot the name of it. It's another name. Anyway, I sat and walking around in the evening. I said all of this to say what's how this ends. If you're in God's will, you're listening to His voice. All these things of being broke, being sick, is for a reason. I walked out on the overhang, looking at all the cars, and eventually one car left, all the cars. Pretty soon the whole parking lot was empty, and the doors behind me closed, and I was stuck outside. I ran to the door, another man ran to the door, and we knocked on the door, and the man came tomorrow morning. So we were stuck outside above in the major airport there of Beijing. Listen to me. The moon came out real bright. Real bright, stars nice and beautiful out there. And he spoke, this man was a student.
Hold your mic up so they can hear you, Daniel. Your 15 minutes is way over, so you need to wind up.
He was learning English, and so I said, though man plants his nest among the stars, I will bring him back. Do you know it says that? I said, man went to that moon and came back. And then I said something. It's in the instruction book for mankind. He turned at me and said, What instruction book are you talking about? What book? I explained to him it all night. In the morning, he was raising his hands. Hallelujah. He was saved.
He got saved.
He got saved. I got a letter from him later on. Dad, I've got an instruction book. God sent me all the way to China, sent me all the way to Mongolia, had to get me sick to meet the right time, to miss the airplane, hear me out, make me go outside and sit on the overhang and lock the door behind me. Hear me, just to win one man. Listen to him. Hear his voice. Stay in his will. No matter the shadows of death be all around you, I have no fear. Wearing a mask, I don't wear a mask. I have no fear of that. God bless.
Daniel, wait. Phoenix one time, my boys, one of the few times when my family was successful at dragging me in a mall. So I said, you guys go do your thing. I'll sit at the bottom of the steps here, or the escalators, and I'll people watch. If I'm forced to be in one of them big cities, that's what I'm going to do. The time flies. And as I was sitting there, there was an old gentleman about your age. He said, he walked over, dressed very well. Young gentleman, excuse me. Young gentleman. I knew when I come out of my mouth you were going to say it anyway. He went over and he sat down, older than me. He went over and he sat down across from me, and I was sitting there with a cowboy hat on, and he kept looking up, and I was feeling a little uncomfortable. He kept looking at me, and after a while, people would come and go, and they'd sit and family, and then he moved his way over, and then they'd leave, and then took him, you know, a good hour to finally get over here on the little couch that I was sitting at the bottom of the escalator. And after a little bit, he said, "Oh, sir," he says, "do you work on a ranch hereabouts?" And I said, "Well, no, I do up where I live." And he maneuvered around there a little bit, and he said, "Sir," he said, "I've got a question that I need to ask you." He said, "If you died today, do you know for sure where you would go?" I was like this, because the overwhelming admiration and honor for these dear old soldiers, young soldiers of God that have gone. Listen, there are things you heard today. Don't get hung up on a few little theological issues. Don't miss the point. I believe the Spirit of God is saying today that, especially in this time more than any other, Daniel?
Yes.
Don't become arrogant in your faith. Don't become arrogant in your grace. It is by grace, through faith, that we're saved. Faith without grace can become arrogant. Grace without faith is powerless. By grace, through faith, we come into a relationship in which God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, lives in us, and He leads us and guides us
yes.
into truth.
Yes.
Paul himself, full of the Holy Ghost, said, "We sought to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit forbid us." He walked a path in which he was tuned in and saying, "Lord, speak to me, lead me, show me." Grace doesn't mean just do whatever you want and everything's okay. You do whatever you want, everything's okay between you and God, but everything is not okay if you're just ignoring His voice. What I mean by okay is it doesn't change your status as a child of God, but it can sure change your status on what's going on in this world. I'm glad that Sally came up and spoke to life and death last week. Where would her babies be? Walking away. These stories that you hear, as I'm sitting here listening to this man, I recognize a heart that beats one with my dad's. The places that he mentioned, I know exactly where they're at. My brother can tell you, he's been there, probably done concerts in these places. And Daniel, I love your heart. And I love my Lord. Father, today we thank you.
Yes.
For Daniel. You know, he lost his wife, faithful wife of how many years?
56.
56 years, went all over the world with him 2 years ago. Father, today I thank you for this man, for his strength, for his heart, for his desire for you, a heart that still beats to tell Jesus about one more. Let us never lose that in this storm.
Yes.
Let us never lose that in this storm. Of the storm we are aware. We watch while we pray. But we also guard our hearts from hardness and anger, and never forget, in the middle of the storm, there is always a purpose. God, we thank you today for a word from you. Take the time to get quiet. Stay in His will. When you get out of it, I'm so glad that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He doesn't leave me. But we don't have to go there, and it's not good there. And the trail is fraught with danger. And we have to realize that. And so, Father, we thank you for that today in Jesus' name.
Yes.
They say there's no modern day apostles. I got one word for you. Hello. So now if I let you say something, missionary brother, you're going to...
Just a few words.
Oh, man, I know what that means. Make it quick.
All right. Thought I'd make $1 million before I go. I knew I was called to the mission field from a child. So I told myself, I'm going to make $1 million. And I was making money, hand over fist. Had good money. I was going to buy apartment housing. And I was coming down loaded with wood in my truck.
And I heard by the way, I heard the other end of this story 2 years ago. The opposite end of this is pretty awesome. So this, you're hearing good stuff. Go ahead.
Awesome. Changed gears, and my engine just reared up, loaded with wood, coming down the street, steep hill turn, coming in the Grass Valley between Nevada City and Grass Valley. Before they had the new freeway, they were building it then. The traffic was already piled up because the freeway was past due being built. And here the traffic. I shifted down gear. My engine just reared up. My whole axle and drum and all slid right out and opened my pots right up. Had no gear. Had no brake. Picking up, coming up against these traffic. The Lord spoke to me, said, "Are you going now? Are you going now?" He didn't have to tell me where. I knew where. When the Lord speaks to you, you better start listening. You're overdue. You're already gone too far. All of a sudden, there was a burnt building there. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going. And I pulled it in there like this. As the truck turned upside down and scattered everything, my brother was with me. Making the story short, I gave everything to my brother. My wife came and picked me up. I told her we're going on the mission field. I think it was 2 weeks and we were sitting in Belize, British Honduras. I believe to this day, if I would have said, not now, I'd been in hot water. I probably would have been injured. And God would have done something to me with his rod. My father spanked us real hard. And my brother, I seen blood on his back when he whipped my brother. I don't know if you've ever been whipped by your dad or that bad. Don't let God bring forth blood in your life.
He won't. You know my theology, but hear behind that what that voice is saying. Are you here today? You know who your father is. You've been here a long time. You know he doesn't bring harm to you. Job says Jehovah does not afflict. But let me tell you something. He does speak life to us when we cry out to him, and he does lead us by his Spirit. Are you here today? Daniel, thank you for sharing your heart. We honor you and your ministry and others like you. And what a powerful. Now, I want to read the Psalm 23. I think it's wonderful. And it bore witness with me. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Think about this in light of where we're at right now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Now, Daniel and I will have some other conversations, and maybe they don't even need to happen. I know who my father is. I know he doesn't beat me till I'm bloody. In fact, he'll speak to me and lead me out of a place where the devil who pretends to be God will beat me till I'm bloody. But the lesson is still clear. It's important to hear and know the voice of God, because where he leads us is beside still waters. He causes us to rest in green pastures. Aren't you glad? In paths of righteousness. He restoreth, verse 3, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. Are you here today? That backs up what I said early. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, pursue me, run me down all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Bob Reed in Sunday, Wednesday morning Bible study shared this word in his own time of looking at everything that's happening around us, brought this word to the men's Bible study. I'm going to start with verse 39. It says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them that trust in him. You believe that today? Three of you believe that. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
Amen. Now, Chris, I'm going to ask you to do something very quickly. Can you pause that video? Now, we just experienced a missionary's 15 minutes. So now you know I come by it honestly. And it was powerful. The reason I have the video paused is last Sunday night, those of you that were here, we had a situation that alarmed me enough that we're going to just sidestep it. Our president, everybody has the information. We're clear about time and place. We'll go into that further. We want to make this productive, not chaos. Amen? So we're going to, in the time that we have, which is not much, and I'm fine with that. Okay? Do I look nervous? Okay, then you shouldn't be either. All right. This morning, and obviously we don't have the time to amplify this as I was going to, and that's fine, we got next week. I want to say a few things. Before we go there, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. We'll just kind of throw some things out there, and then we'll clean it up next week. So if you're watching by video, we had a Holy Ghost interruption, and I think it's a wonderful reminder about where we're at and what's important. And again, you just pick right up with us as we move forward. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says in verse 25, it says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." One of the most powerful tools that we have in our spiritual chest right now as we navigate, Jackie said this morning, she said, once again, I mean, just spontaneously as we were getting ready to go, she said, "I never dreamed it would ever come to this." We got a text from somebody who I know loves us. We certainly love them. They're people that have grown up in Spirit-filled churches from right here in the Quad City area, and that's as far as I'll go, asking us to please stop having church, to please quit being, just wait a minute, this is not for you to attack the person, you don't know who it is, but I want you to hear something, to please stop being irresponsible for the sake of me and my family. This stuff is real. I work in the emergency ward. People are dying. And what you're doing there, I need you to stop. The misinformation, the confusion, is unbelievable. The mantra, and I'm going to just say it from the left, is not only frustrating, but it seems to be, at times, very effective. Because the smoke and mirrors thing right now is in full bore. And I love what he said, "I'm not afraid, I'm not wearing no mask." Well, that's huge, but there's so much more to all of that. Okay. I don't have time to go into all that. That's more about what tonight is. Next week I'll have some things to say about where we're at. But if you, by this time, have not taken the time to do your own homework, to investigate what is going on, to understand that mask wearing is not supported at all by any honest medical scientist on any level, that on the contrary, it's dangerous and it's harmful and it is causing people to get very sick. If by now you haven't figured out the reason they're shutting down the use of hydroxychloroquine, I have an example and I hesitate to say it because it's right on our street, a man who goes to another church, and I need to be very careful. But he actually used it and verified to me its immediate relief right here. But he had to fight to get it. Doctors right here at YRMC refused it, said it's complicated, it can hurt your heart, it's a lie. They've been using this stuff since the 60s. They used it in Honduras, anywhere there was malaria. And yet that has been completely shut down. Why? You have another man of God, this just out, If we have time, I'll show the video tonight. A doctor who is a man of God, in his practice since March, has found an absolute 100% cure that has worked in every single patient. People found relief in the first use through a nebulizer, an inexpensive drug that knocks it out. Right now, he will not be listened to. He is absolutely shut down. When you hear 6 feet social distancing, anytime you hear social anything, your yellow flags should go up. There has been a case for separation and isolation for a defined, specific period of time in our history for different medical onslaughts, whatever. They were used properly, they had a specific time limit, and they were effective. It wasn't social distancing. 6 feet is nonsense. There is no science for it. You've got to wake up. I got way off more into that than I wanted to because I don't have the time to get into it. But if you can't figure out what I've said always before, when you have things like this taking place and they continue to move the goalpost and you find out there is big money behind it, you have an agenda. And the agenda is clear on every front right now. There is a nationwide attempt to take over this nation. They have sought for this in their own demonic prayers, and they believe that the time is full. They're very afraid of where Trump is at and what this potentially could mean for their ties, not just in America, but worldwide. And they're getting ready to pull out all the stops. Jackie had a meme, I don't know where she got it from. It shows a mask, and it says, "Remember, liberals, my body, my choice." The conflicts are crazy. California, who is killing that state, Gavin Newsom, nephew to Nancy Pelosi. You go to the website on the use of masks for areas where they're fighting fires, you have the exact opposite information in detail. How dangerous it is. Children should not wear them. How it will not block most things. It is a first line of protection, but it is absolutely, I mean, complete opposite. This is political, and I want us to take it a little bit further. It's much more than that. It's a demonic attempt to come against the only nation that still supports a God-given understanding of freedom. That is what is at stake. That's why it's no longer about black or white. It's no longer about civil war, monuments. It's about anything that represents America at all. They hate America, and they hate America's God. And I realize that America's in trouble because we as a nation have drifted from our God. But there are more of us than most of you in here understand. I don't have time to go where I wanted to go. But I want to say that the most powerful force that we have is the prayer of agreement. Coming together as one. Turn in your Bibles. We've mentioned it many times. I quote it many times, but let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 18. Jesus gives a warning. He says, "A house divided cannot stand." So where do you think the devil's target is going to be? He is going to seek to divide. Right now, marriages, homes, families, churches, communities are not being separated just physically. This is demonic. Wake up! Standing on a spot saying, respect the safety of others. Stand on this spot, measured 6 feet. Where is our... But listen, the shaming is going to be amped up. What they're doing right now with the numbers, I just talked to somebody who sits right in this church all the time, brother-in-law, right here and now, went to go get tested because he felt bad. Decided at the, got some things together, got another treatment, recovered quickly, forgot about his test, and he got the faithful note in the mail that he had been diagnosed positive. Are you aware right now, in Phoenix, USA, you're tested nasal? You're tested, what are the other tests? Help me, Mike. Nasal and serology, and there's several different ways of doing that. They test, each one of those tests is counted as a separate number to be added. When you're doing that kind of stuff, there is an agenda in place, and it's all about fear and control and big money for the hospitals, for those doing the work. You must connect this to a greater operation. Whether it started, whether this was put into play on purpose or not, it certainly has been hijacked. I believe that it was, but that's my opinion. It certainly has been hijacked and is working in perfect confluence with all of the other things that we're seeing happening with Black Lives Matter, Antifa. And an absolute open. We've got to wake up and realize. Now, here's where it's coming. Just like that text that we received from good people who do love us, but in fear. They don't understand that people came in last year by the droves, except they had a full staff. When you cut a staff by 70%, that one nurse in the emergency ward is overwhelmed. And we had flu seasons last year, the year before, and on back. If people would just think, we had roughly around little less, little more than 60,000 that died from just a bad flu. We haven't even tipped a light flu season when you strip away all of the nonsense, and that's what you know that you can strip away. How many incidences like this brother that I just told you about, how many of those cases? Now there is a new term called presumed diagnosis. This is real. Presumed diagnosis. If you come in and you test positive, and by the way, all the tests do not test, they don't react to COVID-19 specifically. They react to COVIDs. Among which, right on the Center for Disease Control's own site, is the common cold. So when you test positive, who knows? Now, the reason I'm going into all this is not to get off on all the... The thing is if you're sick with other things, there is a real COVID-19 virus. It does attack your lungs. Just like any other flu bug that hits certain vulnerabilities in people, there was a flu bug we had back several years ago that was awful. It put people on their back, some of them for almost a month. We didn't shut down the economy. This is very well planned, very well designed. If you're doing any of your own research, you know that Bill Gates and other demon-possessed globalists have specifically worded these things openly
stating their intentions and what they wanted to do. And we're here. And yet I've got believers trying to shame me already in this thing that what we're doing. Listen, if you think that's pointed at me and just our church, get ready. We must not be complicit or complacent. Somewhere last week, I want to say it again, find your voice. Let faith find her voice. Let faith find her feet. This is not about just your personal freedoms. The target, the guns are swinging. I've felt it in my spirit. I know it. This last week, you got to wake up. The guns are swinging in your direction if you are a Bible-believing Christian. Rice. Trying to, is it Susan Rice? Not Condoleezza. Susan Rice. Got the right person? I don't want to misspeak. That said, when we win this, we're coming after each and every. Who was it? Kamala Harris. There we go. Harris. I knew Rice was wrong. Kamala Harris said, we're coming after each and every one of you individually. We know who you are. That's not COVID. That's not Black Lives Matter. Our heart is for the world. The lives of black people matter very much, and so does everybody else's. And every baby in an instant formed in the womb, not fetus, not blob, baby, human being, that God imparts a living soul, a spirit precious and valuable and exploding with all the potential of God, regardless of how they were conceived. A lot of these same people don't even know where they stand. They're out of spirit-filled churches, raised up in spirit, and they don't even know where they stand on that issue anymore. Has society shifted us? Are we a thermostat? Or a thermometer? What they're coming at, and I want you to hear this today in the precious little bit of time I have left, what they're coming after is our unity. Our greatest strength, the biggest tool in our toolbox, and the devil knows it. Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, and yet I'm afraid that most believers right now are ignorant of his devices. We've been asleep too long. Matthew 18. The devil hates this stuff, and that's why his next ploy is to begin to turn the church on itself, just like Nazi Germany. They effectively split the church. And even the church that initially had the guts to rise up and say, I smell a rat, something's wrong. In the process, they failed to act because they thought that being involved in politics wasn't important, as important as just dealing with the spiritual stuff. And 6 million Jews died, not just at the hand of Hitler and a church that sold out to his demonic system, but a church who knew better, who had the Spirit of God, who knew the difference, who had the ability to cry out, sat by. In the name of, as long as it doesn't affect our ability to worship, our ability. This is where it started. It really is, Sally, a matter of life or death. The hideous imposition of control on the American public. People walking around with masks on is mind control. You are right now experiencing the brunt, and you're going to hear these. You sit there in disbelief and think I'm crazy. You mark my words and remember that I said them, and you're going to watch it unfold. I'm not just speaking this out of a rant because I come from a political affiliation. I know by the Spirit of God, truth clear to the center of my bones, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. People wake up and listen. We are already involved right now in a well-laid plan of psychological warfare. It is being exercised against you and on you right now. And that, if you haven't heard anything else, hear it today. Its effectiveness will be what's the word? Not amplified. Will be determined, let me put it that way, about how much or by how much they can divide the people of God. Salt and light stand in the way. Believers who stand afraid some days getting up, but no to stand in the name of Jesus, no to reach over and grab their wife's hand and agree, to pray for the president, to pray for our nation. That has incredible power. A church standing and agreeing like this has unimaginable power. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 18, verse 18, he said, "Verily I say unto you," do you remember reading this? I think it was last week. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound on heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So where he's going to come, where the enemy will begin to push forward, is to bring a division among those who would stand in agreement. Listen, you may not understand or agree with everything that is being thrown out there, but guard your heart. Well, how do they know? How do you know? What are you doing? What do you know? Are you listening to the now extension, propaganda extension of the left called the news? Who speak in unison as they lie blatantly and they've been caught over and over and over? Are you listening to, but how could all those be wrong? Syria was coming against Israel. And Elisha's going to read that. We may look at that next week. Do you remember the story? Great fear. We're surrounded. Elisha says, opens his mouth and begins to pray, let his eyes be open that he may see that there are more with us than they which be against us. And when the king's eyes were open, he didn't even know what to do. Confusion came into the camp of the enemy as they destroyed one another. We see the same thing in the story of Jehoshaphat. As soon as the people begin to worship God in unison together, listen, the devil is coming against our unity. You hold tight. Don't let the enemy divide you away on some little political pet that you've guarded for all. Guard your heart. That's exactly what they want. But it frustrates me. Somebody feels a little bad, and they go running to the hospital. When in the history of your life have you felt a little bad and go running to the hospital? And I have proof from doctors in the know that will show why almost everybody who's tested will test positive. Because like anybody understands virology, understands if you've been around people, They're going to pass their antibodies on to you. They've already had it long past. They're strong, never even knew they had it. Their body did what it was supposed to do, and they're passing antibodies to you, and you're going to test positive. But you freak out. They stick you in isolation for 4 days. You can't see anybody. It happened right here at YMC. It's happening right here. Freak you out of your gourd. Fight you on trying to get... The one individual that I talked to said they made it sound like a complicated process. When I finally got an RN that was willing to sign off on the prescription, I was better in hours. And there was nothing complicated. It was a couple of pills, a regimen for 5 days. Why? People, psychological warfare. Every one of us now are starting to feel the load of day in, day out waiting. When is something going to open up? When is something going to change? While the middle class, Main Street, blue collar businessman is being absolutely destroyed. The tax base and the voter base for what we call America and God We Trust. They know exactly what they're doing. You need to be involved. Don't shrink. If nothing else, we have power through prayer. Don't let yourself be divided. I hear it again and again. I wish you'd just preach the gospel and stay off politics. That is naive. I'm going to call a spade now. That's naive and stupid. This isn't about politics. It's about truth and freedom. It's about life and death. And somewhere, you have some good tools that we're putting together. We can talk about that more tonight. But thereafter, our division, I want to show you something. I'm not going to take the time to go to those scriptures found in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. But we see that over and over again, God, when his people listen to him, Brother Daniel, and are in his will, God has an ability, and that's why I went into what I talked about last week. We can loose confusion, but see, if you don't know, if your cousin or your brother or a local church that I heard shut down their services, love them, pray for them. I understand the fear, but it's ignorance. Shut down their services because a boy got COVID. Which COVID? How? Why would you shut down? Why would we stop meeting? If you know what it is, why are we slipping over into, this is what I hate, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but this is what happened, this process of rationalizing ourselves away from taking a stand. If you don't take a stand, you'll fall for anything. Our founders knew the preciousness of the freedoms we enjoy, and we've forgotten the price. Or we wouldn't even need guys like me doing this and making everybody feel uncomfortable. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and God will give you light. But if you're listening to every fear-mongering blast right now, they are coming out with stories of people that died left and right. People, I got news for you. Peel it back. People have always been dying. People have always been dying tragically. People right here in our wards during flu season die horribly. People die of pneumonia. They die of this. They die of the other. Nobody brought it up under Obama. When over 60,000 died, we didn't shut down the world. The world, people, not the nation. You don't even know what's going on in Honduras. They're in lockdown. Have any of you been to Albuquerque, New Mexico? Do you know about the incredible fines and enforcement and jailing? It's not even like you're in America. You're getting a picture of the third world and what people who love power do When they have that kind of control, you're getting a little snapshot of all of Central America, minus, I don't know. I don't even know if there is a minus. Guatemala, Honduras, all of those countries, South America, completely shut down. But there are others that are rising up and saying, no more. Like the king of... This was in the main news. This isn't conspiracy nonsense. The king of, what was it, Nigeria? What was the African, one of the African countries, he got suspicious? So he swabbed samples from a papaya and a goat? You didn't hear that in the mainstream? You didn't hear that in the mainstream. That's not a joke. Came back, Tanzania, thank you. And it came back positive. And he said, you're liars, get out of my country, all of you, gone. Yes. This morning, it was Japan, and what was the other country, Thailand? I may be wrong on Thailand, but one of those super populated little countries. Corona, COVID-19 swept through it. They have had... You don't hear this on the mainstream news? You check it for yourself. This is right now, today. 7 deaths. Millions in the whole country. Boy, that was perfect. Somebody's flowing in the spirit. You know why? Because they're using the same system that this doctor in Texas, a real man of God, I got the interview, if we have time, I'll show it tonight. He went to bed saying, Lord, all these COVID patients are coming into my clinic, what do I do? He said, when I woke up, how many times have you heard this story? Obviously a spirit-filled man. He said, when I woke up, he said, it's the Lord just gave me a simple answer. He said, thank you, Lord. He said, I went immediately that day, that week, prescribed it, killed it dead right now. People said they felt better while they were doing the initial nebulizer treatment. Absolutely gone out of their system. He is absolutely being shut down and quieted. Awake, thou that sleepest. I love Chris's bumper sticker. Masks are for bandits, not for healthy Americans. Now, I've got way off into that stuff more than I wanted to. Let's come back to the spiritual emphasis of this. Where the enemy is coming at right now, and I need you to hear this, is after it, he is going to attempt to divide. A house divided against itself will not stand. It breaks my heart that people that complain about political things are the ones who divide themselves from the body because of politics. Perfect irony. They are connected emotionally to left-leaning notions that were built into them in college and elementary. Well, but I'm saying, yeah, I'm talking about an older age group, but yeah, elementary school goes all the way back, certainly now. And that's why our social, moral, spiritual values have shifted in the church. But I want to encourage you, like Elisha of old, we can pray that their eyes will be opened. For there are more with us than be with them. Maybe I will hit this again next week. And understand, be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Where he's honing in on right now is ramping up through these people, these numbers, and the shaming and the direction is coming right at us. Those of us who assemble like this. I've even been asked, shocked by people that I thought had a clue. But when you guys meet, do you at least exercise? Do you err on the side of caution? I now hate that phrase. That's a cop-out. Erring on the side of caution means you're too lazy to come to land your airplane. You gotta land somewhere. Agnostic. I was able to lead a guy to the Lord one day through a conversation in an elevator. He said, well, I'm an agnostic. And I said, well, that doesn't tell me anything. What do you mean? I said, dude, someday you're going to have to land that airplane or it will land for you and it may not look good. Agnosticism is making a religion out of your search for truth. That's not a religion. There's no God. There's no safety. You're going to have to land your airplane. And in this stuff right here, erring on the side of caution is a lazy response to an agnostic type mentality of, well, you never know. Well, yes, you do and can know. And it's important that you do and that you stand with those who do as we say no more. I wish I could encourage the other pastors in this area. Why are you shutting down? Do you know what the tests are? Do you know how they work? Do you understand what comorbidities are? Do you understand that the leading physicians, I mean, I'm just preaching to the choir now, because what they're zeroing in on is now the church, our unity, using fear. This is what they're after. Now, I got to finish up with this. It's noon. It's all Daniel's fault. Blame him as you leave. We have precedence in the Word of God. We're standing together in unity and saying, devil, no more. We have the ability to speak to the strong man in the house according to Scripture. We have the ability to pray as Elisha of old. If it was true under the old, it's more true now. Open their eyes up. We release confusion in the name of Jesus. Are you praying with me right now? Come on, people. Pray and worship as we preach. We lose confusion into the enemy of the camp in Jesus' name. We release truth and the light and life of God among those who are trembling under fear. Good, righteous people who, like the unrighteous, are running from what they don't know. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Father, in Jesus' name, arrest them. Get them to slow down long enough to stop and think, why am I running? Are you, Sherry, are you kidding me? Get up here. One word.
It's our responsibility as a citizen to one another.
That was actually in the test. It is our responsibility because we are harming others by not complying. And I'm here to tell you, it's psychological warfare. This is exactly the same tricks they played in Nazi Germany and in communist countries and sieges all over the world. It's an old game. But we can't see it because it was craftily customized and tailored for the American. They know where they can't go, and they know where they can. So the greatest tool in our toolbox is unity. Standing on these truths, and that's what the devil is after. We see God. His desire, his ability is send confusion into the enemy's camp. The devil always twists truth, and he tries to do the same thing God does. Remember when Jesus was led into the wilderness and Satan came to tempt him? What did he use? Scripture. He twisted truths, quoted the Word of God. That liar had the audacity to use truth to entrap. Of course, Jesus cut that off with, okay, we're not going to argue. I am he, get thee behind me. Who are you? Are you aware of the I am that lives in you? He tells me who I am. I'm awake. I'm alive. I'm not blind. I can see. We can use confusion, but he also sees that and will twist it and even use the church. If you study at all how Planned Parenthood got started, they designed that system to initially function. This is how they got it going. Took it into the black churches. Took advantage of those precious people who they know were of devout faith. At that time, there wasn't the education system that we have now. There were things in place that they sought to abuse. And the church, through ignorance, embraced and helped perpetrate the killing currently, right now, today, 900 black American babies will be aborted today in the womb. That's shocking. You think that sounds like a lot? I did too, till I went and checked it out. And I'm sitting there reading it going, my God, this can't be possible. But we hear these big numbers all the time, and they just kind of wash over us. We just kind of... And I hear this now from good people. I just wish this would all go away. I just want things to go back to normal. This one isn't like that. Buckle up your seatbelt. Gird up your loins with the truth of God's Word. Because the battle between now and a few months is just beginning. And Jack and I were in our home. We try to shake loose of it, but I remember spent a number of trips into Cuba, and the whole time I was there, I felt something that I never believed that I would feel here, and I feel it now. It's not as strong, but it's the same spirit. I think it's my head, and I push it away, change gears. It's here. But we must, in Jesus' name, stand together, stand in agreement, believe God. It only takes two or three that really believe and can call confusion. Understand how he works, and also understand how great our God is. And truly, do we believe greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world? Well, that wasn't my message, but that was a message. Kick you down the road a little bit further. I hope that you'll join us here at the time that I mentioned early. I want to pray right now. There's so much I want to say. My heart's full. It's 10 after. It's time to stop. I see people yawning, and if I were in your seat, I'd be yawning too. It's been a long time. It's been a long time sitting. And I know it's not because you're bored. I get it. It's warm in here, and this is a lot of information. Overload. Right there where you're sitting, let me pray for you. Going to do that? Let's pray for one another. Father, today in Jesus' name, Paul said some pretty awesome things in Ephesians 3. He was praying for that Ephesians church. And he said of them, to them, for them, and now unto us today by the Spirit of God. Come on, let's lift up our hands all over the building, shall we? All I mean by this is just, I'm receiving. He said, be strengthened. I need this today, people. Be strengthened with might, a spirit of might in your inner man. Might. Today we recognize that without you we're weak. And when we recognize that, then we're strong. Let the weak say. Come on. Come on, people of God. Let the weak say. Let the weak say. Come on. Let the weak say, I am strong with the strength of the Lord. Say with me, I'm not just anybody anymore. Come on, say it out loud. I'm not just anybody anymore. I'm a child of the Most High God. I have the mind of Christ. He is unto me wisdom. Father, I pray today for your people, the spirit of might. Father God, a supernatural bathing and a receiving, a revelation. This is what Paul said. Strengthen with might that you may be able to, together with the saints, get a vision of the love of God. Its length, breadth, depth, and height. Today, let us not become weak, bitter, reactionary, angry, sullen, fearful. All of you little devils, we speak to you in Jesus' name. You don't belong in this house or around this house. The spirit of wisdom, boldness, strength, the ability to every day when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The love of God, a revelation. And Paul brings that to this beautiful close. We take for granted now unto him that is able to do in the middle of all this mess. Do you believe that today? Come on, people, do you believe that today? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Today we ask for our nation. We ask for our country, for our state, for our leaders. Let confusion be released in the camp of the enemy in Jesus' name. We loose the power of God, the freedom and the life and light. Expose the insidious works of darkness. Let sinful men fall to their knees, exposed with the confession on their mouth, He is Lord. Father, today we lift up our president. We lift up all of those who are in authority. Father God, in Jesus' name, we lift up men of God and pastors all over this Quad City area and this state. Father God, speak into their heart. Let them hear that quiet, still voice that says, Son, don't run. Son, don't run. Son, don't run. Son, stop running. Son, don't run. Take a stand. I'll be with you. Father, in Jesus' name, strengthen these men. They're not doing this because they're fools. They're not doing this because they're swallowing the lie, but it's how the enemy works. So today we need one another. Today we stand in a voice of defiance, righteous indignation. Satan, you are a liar. We speak confusion into the camp of the enemy. And we resist confusion. James 3:16 says, where there is envying and strife, there is confusion. And that's exactly what he wants to do. Not just out there, right here in the middle of us. People still pounding away on Facebook. Where there is confusion, there is every, this is the Bible, people, every evil work. So we resist confusion. We invite life and life. Let the spirit of might, one more time all over the room, let the spirit of might envelop you. Confidence and strength and joy. Remember, don't forget, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Ask Jackie, I've not been very joyful this week. I've been angry. Some of it righteous anger. I'm going to defend myself a little bit. But I'll tell you what, there's a fine thread there. You fall over, that's a slippery slope, and the next thing you know, you're right with them. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Know who you are. Stand in the strength of God. Know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It blew my mind in Cuba. Spirit-filled church, underground. The jokes, the laughter, the love, the worship. Marrying, loving, bearing children in that thing, loving life underground. We don't even know what that's like. Now we will stop that in Jesus' name. We're not speaking that over our nation, but it's a little checkup from the neck up that regardless of our circumstance, Paul put it this way, I have learned that no matter what state I find myself in, therein to be content. Father, we love you today. Thank you for who you are in us, through us, and for us. For your people today, let these words full of you strengthen and bolster. Help us through and above. In Jesus' name. Brother Louis.
Got a scripture I want to share with you. One of the things about this place, my friends, is that there's a free spirit in here. You know, I can get up if I got something to share, I can share it, and this man will let me share it, and I love him dearly. And you know, I went, it's been some time back, I went to an Andrew Womack service in up in Colorado, and I tell you, my friends, on there, one of the things he turned loose, he had 1,600 people praying in tongues all at the same time. 1,600. And one of the things that we neglect in doing, each one of us on here, you got the baptism on the Holy Spirit and can pray. If you haven't got it, get up here.
Yeah.
It's yours. It belongs to you.
That's right.
And praying in tongues on there when you don't know what else to do on there. People don't do it enough. You got it. And if I go around questioning each one of you, how many did you do it throughout the week on there? There'll be, okay, I passed 5 days. Okay, I passed 2 days. Okay, man, I didn't pray all week long in tongues. My God, God's given you a gift that'll move mountains. It moves mountains in my life on there. You know, I spent about 100 hours praying in tongues. That's because I had cancer. I don't have cancer anymore.
Right. That's a fact.
And Jesus is Lord. But you know, this scripture I want to share with you on here, it's in Ephesians 6 and 18. It says, praying at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit or in tongues, with all manner of prayer and entreaty, to that end, keep alert. Keep alert. What's he been talking about? Keep alert and watch. With strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints. God's consecrated people. Man, you've been consecrated. You've been set free already. You're already free. You need to walk in that freedom. But praying in the Spirit is something that it's so neglected in the church. It's so neglected, not in this place, I'm sure, in teaching and stuff on there, that people need to be praying in the Spirit. You need to, for one thing, you build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost.
That's what it says.
Amen. Hey, sometimes I get so wound up praying in the Holy Ghost, I dance. You know, and when you see a 76-year-old man dancing, I tell you, it works.
Yes, sir.
But friends, praying, coming into a spirit of unity and praying in the Spirit, watching strongholds knocked down. Because you can't pray an imperfect prayer praying in the Spirit.
That's right.
Ain't that right, brother?
Yeah, that is exactly right.
I love
you. You too. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I really believe you should. And, you know, one of the things that I've had happen to me and stuff like that, praying in the Spirit. I had it. I'm going to just give you a couple minutes because I can be like this fella back here. I am technically a missionary on there, but...
not technically, you are.
But anyway,
absolutely.
Praying in the Spirit and stuff like that, I've prayed for people, and just by praying in the Spirit, seeing demons leave them. I had a neighbor I led to the Lord, went down there. His wife always wanted to see me. One of the reasons she wanted to see me, he'd go into perfect peace as far as that went when I just pray in the Spirit over him. I've seen people healed of diseases, all pain leave their body just by praying in the Spirit. It works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sister?
Well, I just was saying to Sally, I just feel the need that we should be praying in the Spirit right now.
Yeah.
That it's...
Yeah.
Need to quit using our own words, and we need to speak His name.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's stand.
Those of you right now on there that praying in the Spirit and also singing in the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. If you've never tried it on there, it's an awesome thing on there to just sing in the Spirit on there.
You can
sing in the Spirit on there. Once it gets going on there, it just gets going on there. And so everybody, all just right now, singing it in the Word of God, tells you to sing in the Spirit. Just be willing to let Him in. If you haven't been filled with the Spirit, just believe that you're God. Because God wants to fill you right now.
That's right.
He wants to fill you right now. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and see such power.
This day is right. Come on.
Right now. Right now. We're going to end up.
As you're worshiping, just worship. Sing in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Give me my mic, Sean. As you continue to worship and pray in the Holy Ghost, if you've never been around anything like this, I want you to hear the Word of God. Go ahead, continue. Worship.
Don't be embarrassed. Some people are embarrassed. I only got a few words. You watch what if you'll start praying in the Spirit.
So as you're going, maybe you're new to all this. Here's what the Word of God says. He that speaketh, this is your Bible. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself.
Yes.
Goes on down and he says, when I speak, this is verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. When I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. You don't need to be afraid. You don't have to worry. Nobody's going to do anything weird. This stuff has been so abused and so messed with that people are afraid of anything like this. You shouldn't be afraid of something that Jesus gave, and He said this will empower you. People get so hung up. Isaiah put it this way, with a stammering lip. You don't have to stand like anybody. Just open up your heart and turn English off and begin to worship God in another tongue. It's in there. Just release it. When you were born again, everything you needed to be able to open up and let the Spirit of God just do that work in you is there. Here's what it says. I will pray. This is your Bible under the new covenant speaking to us. He says, what is this then? I will pray with the Spirit and will pray also in the understanding. He wasn't saying praying in Chinese. He's talking about a gathering like this where we're praying in an unknown tongue in which our spirit is praying. He says, I will pray in the understanding also. I will sing. Louis mentioned this a little while ago. Jim Anderson back here said, I'd never heard of that. He said, I began to sing in the Spirit, and he said, my eyes had a supernatural touch from God. He can tell you that. I will sing with the Spirit and we'll sing with the understanding also. Let's just quit talking about it right now and be edified. And if you're here today and you don't know what this means, I mean, go over and talk to somebody. Come up here. We'll lead you in the baptism. Or right there, you can just let the Spirit of God begin to flow. What is the baptism? That is the absolute Spirit of God that's in this place. You're born again. There's no hitch. He loves you. And right now you can say, Lord, I want all that you've got for me. Let your Spirit overflow, fill from the inside out. And as we just begin to release in childlike faith, in a childlike language, come on, people, let's worship God. Father God, today we commit our nation. We commit our president. Father, today we open up and receive that supernatural language unafraid. Lord, we thank you today that your word is being heard. How we love you, Lord. How we love you, Lord. You don't have to ask. You don't have to worry. Just open up your mouth and let it flow. He's not going to grab your tongue and yank it out of your mouth. This is you saying, Lord, I offer up all of this to you and I let you take care of the rest. Lord, all that you've got for me, I receive every bit. Washing over, baptizing. You know what Louis said a minute ago, when we pray in other tongues, the perfect prayer. Yeah, Caleb, go ahead. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to say one thing real quick. We ask, why are the other churches closed? The very faint churches have been scared to allow them to flow freely in their
And that's what I thought my heart around. And then when we ask ourselves, how do the other churches just shut their doors, get scared, and go hide in the hole? Because the very thing they were scared to allow to flow freely in their church was not allowed. And the reason they're able to sit here and say, thank God that we're standing up for truth. Thank God there's more than 50 people in this place right now. Not a single person has a message. Because we're here not just to shun that away, but to say we stand for every single truth that God gave us the right to stand for. And why? Because through also the Holy Spirit in us, we have no fear. And the very reason churches, buildings with crosses, with pastors and members are closing their doors is because there's been too many churches just doing churches. And that's why we can't just do church. And that's why I'm so thankful we have a church here that's not afraid to say, hey, we're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to sing in the Spirit. but it also is the very thing that's letting us see what's really going on and know that we don't have to be afraid. And it's the lack of that that makes the churches close their doors. So let's pray for those churches that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would be filled with a burst of freedom to just stand up. And this makes the difference, not just being saved. How many people go to heaven but die way early? God's intention wasn't for them to die way early, but because they believed in Jesus, they're in heaven. But if we're guided and led by the Holy Spirit, we can walk in every single step and every single plan and not ever have to fall in that hole that the devil wants us to fall in now. And God's like, that's not my plan. My plan is to give you life in abundance. And so the difference is what we're doing right now, letting that, not just here at church, but let it go with us at home. Let it go with us during the week. And let that light that lets us see things the way they are not shut the doors of our heart or the doors of our churches.
Yeah. So Louis, stay right here. So right now, let's just lift our hands all over the place. You have a hitch or doubt, maybe you received a long time ago or you never really have done this. I want you to know, here's what Jesus said. If you ask, I'll give. That's it, period. So lift your hands up today. If you're one of those, said, I'm not sure, it's been a long time. Right now, he says, if you ask, I'll give, period. That's it. Quit worrying about tongues. That's the language of the Holy Ghost. That's between you and him. Now, I think it ought to be out loud, but that's between you and him. But right now, what we're receiving is the gift that he promised. He said, if you ask, I'll baptize you. So, Father God, today, right now, with our hands lifted, if you're in here today and you've never received, I want you to just open up your mouth right now. Everybody put your hands down real quick. How many of you in here have never received, but you want to right now? Maybe we had already happened. That's pretty awesome. Lift your hands back up then. That's pretty awesome. I know that number was different a little bit ago. So right now, we open up our hearts to you. Father, right now, fresh and anew. Baptize us. Now in the Holy Ghost. And we speak in Jesus' name. You'd loose that tongue. Loose that spirit. Loose that thing. Father, as we begin to worship you now, come on now. We're not playing around now. Come on, here we go. Father, we in Jesus' name, Shelebeki Alabahasi, all over this room, we pray the perfect prayer, Shelebeki Alabahaya. When we're praying in other tongues, my spirit man prays. It builds Solobokosi Alaba. It builds my spirit man up. I'm speaking divine mysteries to you. When I know not how to pray, this prayer hits the bullseye every time. So Father, right now, Shelebeki Alabahasaya. Father, thank you right now for the infilling, for the inflowing, for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That which is the kickover for times of trouble. Right now, we thank you for it all over the house. Come on, just worship him. Shelebeki Alabahasia, Harabahasia. Like rivers of living water, let it flow. This is the refreshing, the prophet of old said. This is the rest wherein the weary will rest. For with a stammering lip, and another tongue will he speak to his people. Go ahead and worship him. Let it flow. Let it flow. We worship you. We worship you. In the spirit. In the spirit. For it is not, Zechariah 4:6, it is not by might nor by power. It is by my spirit. Father God, today. Oh my goodness. Yes, girl. Let her rip. Go ahead. Solo bokosia.
Thus says the Lord, I will guide my people. I will not let you be lost. I will not stop until I have all of you. I will not let you be led astray. I will open your eyes. I will lead you beside still waters. I will let you lie down and graze you. I will guide my people. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you.
Yes.
I am not an earthly father. I am a heavenly father.
Come on, girl.
I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. I will lead you. I am your shepherd. I am your shepherd. I am your shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you done?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, here it is when you're ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Sholobokosia. Sledebekia lavahasia. Sholobokosia. So, isn't it's so beautiful the way God does this? Come on, people. Come on, Spirit-filled people. I've had people push me and push me and try to make stuff happen. And I've learned through the years, you don't have to push, just let God be God. And this right here was a day seen in the Spirit a long time ago. Come on, let's worship God. I see you. I'm ready. You bet. Go ahead. I love Chad.
This morning in person, people who were here, and I was asking for an interpretation in my heart, in my own prayer, and we prayed in the Spirit, and as Chad started relaying words in English again, he said exactly what has been on my heart all week about keeping our faith alive, focused on God, and not letting our faith turn and run and dissipate at the sign of troubles and stuff like that. And it was amazing to me that when I asked for that interpretation, that it was exactly what I was hearing from God all week, and I was so amazed. Thank you.
That's awesome. And they were all gathered in one place. Acts 2. And in one accord. And suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And tongues of fire appeared above them as they spoke in a brand new tongue. You heard it this morning. You say, well, I today for the first time I heard a little bit of stammering. The devil, I want you to know how stupid he is, and I want to alert you to what's going to happen. He will actually try to make you feel silly about that later. What you need to do is pour gas on the flames and let her rip. Get in your car alone and let that little baby stammer go. He'll develop it. Have you ever seen a little baby? Do you think they're stupid when they're looking at you with their shining eyes and that big, beautiful face, and they're looking at you going, Dad, 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 Dad? Does that look stupid to you? It's the most precious, warm miracle ever. That's how God looks at you, newly filled, as you begin to look up to Him and just let whatever's in there flow as you worship. When I don't know how to pray, have you ever had a situation where you felt you needed to pray, a name kept coming to you, or a situation, and you didn't know how? You did your best to pray, Lord, help whoever that is. You know what to pray? This right here is powerful because you can launch into a prayer. God's tying together. He knows the situation, and you're praying the perfect prayer. One more time all over the house today. Would you lift your hands? How we love you, Lord. Our battle right now, going into November, this is our strength. This is our strength. Don't let him intimidate you another minute, another day, another hour. For you know what he promised? Right now, you're getting a sign. But you know what else you're going to notice as a result of this day? Here's what he promised. Boldness. You'll be endued with power, he says, and Acts 1, you'll be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses of me in Judea and Samaria and to all the uttermost parts of the earth. The key sign of this is boldness. And today, get ready, because boldness is going to come out of the inside of you. Jeff's going to go, what?
boldness is going to come out of you in sweetness, in gentleness, but with a strength and an authority, for this is the promise. One more time all over the room, thank you for the spirit of might that graces us and strengthens us as we walk through the fire untouched, because the fourth man now is not with us in an oven, but he's alive inside of us by the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. You say, where do we quit? Never. Take it home. Take it to the streets, in your car. Roll with it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Bless one another as you go. Yeah, Tommy. One more person. Hold the phone.
Sorry, guys. We've been talking about confusion in the enemy's camp, and just felt specifically today. Oh, sorry. Specifically, I just feel like it just dawned on me today that the enemy that's behind this, all this madness, is the enemy. Okay. The reason the enemy fell is because of rebellion. That's what's going to destroy the enemy's camp. That's what we need to speak specifically about. It's not just confusion. It's that we need to speak rebellion in their own camp. No army can function without hierarchy and without order and discipline. And that's specifically what we all, as we go out of here through our week, we need to be speaking specifically, commanding rebellion in the enemy's camp. Because what happens is every one of these evil entities, they want power. And we need them to fight each other for that power and divide themselves through that. So, I don't know. That's my thought.
Doesn't it feel great to be a little out of control? And let somebody else be in control? Come on, people. A lot of us knew this at one time. But I wasn't going to push that button alone. For such a day as this, Brother Louie, thanks for being obedient. I want to know, how many in here believe that you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time? I want to see your hands. No, lift them where I can see you. You believe you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking other tongues for the first time? I'm just curious. We got one.
Amen.
Anybody else? I think there's more than that. If you prayed in here for the first time like that, and that was you, let me see your hand. Huh? Yeah. Sandy? Look, Sandy back there just worshiping and crying. That is just awesome. You ladies go lay hands on that girl. Never the same. Somebody go lay hands on that
pastor.
Girl. Sandy, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Over here. Really? That is so, huh? Except for today, you will be. That's behind you.
Amen.
Wide open, girl. Pedal to the metal. That's awesome.